This morning, shall we turn to Luke chapter 5? Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. We'll read verse 31 and 32. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are holy, not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. If you remember what we read before we got to this point, you know the Pharisees and the scribes were around where Jesus Christ was teaching. And was telling them many things. He did many things there. He healed the sick. And they were questioning why Christ should tell the sick that his sins are forgiven him. So out of this answer God, Jesus Christ gave to them, we shall consider Jesus' invitation. Jesus' invitation to sinners. His invitation. And that is our thinking this morning. Yeah, can I say, yeah, can I say, no, yes, you not church, you know, you know, Sansu Sai, you know, or Sansu Katsu, and you say, I'm sorry, no, for the Kate uncle. Now, or Kasa, or the morning, actually, now, Kofuna, for a scene, they scrap for no one, no, almost, ah, Nanipa Ben or not to be the bonnet. Yahoo, come on, the bonnet. And one of the things that made the Jews to crucify Jesus was that they said that he claimed to be God. The entire Israel for I but I come home to Omuku used to say, Om say, or Jesus also or Yankupon. And by their understanding, they think that God is a God the Father and God is one. And so why Jesus Christ claimed himself to be God? We will not go into that, but even today people question why Jesus Christ was God. And they will say he's not God. They are just the same thinking of these Pharisees and the scribes here. Because indeed, it's only God who can forgive sin. It's only God who can forgive sin. So this proves Jesus' divinity, that he was God who came to take upon him human flesh, as his name even depicts. His name, Emmanuel, God with us. God who came to take upon him human flesh. He was living before he came. He was God before he came. In John chapter 8, he told the Israelites that before Abraham was, I am. Abraham had lived before so many years before Jesus Christ came. And he told the Jews that place they were trying to, they were questioning his authority. They said that, you say you are children of Abraham, but before Abraham was, I am. Now, do be not you for you, so I don't know you in Sembiano. Now, no, I'm also, I'm also, the catcher almost said, Mukra Muslim with Abraham, but now Mukapa Abraham, Emra, no, oh, we are now no, what that. And that also brought misunderstanding among the Jews. But this morning, we consider his invitation. And as Jesus Christ said, I came to call the righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This should be our focus this morning. Say, yes, we look at that. Or maybe as a friend, I turn them for name, at the boy, for the Obe from Edia for Agri Sacrament. And you know, this invitation is one of the greatest invitations the world has ever seen. But before I go on to consider his invitation and what it is and what we can it means to us, I want us to consider other invitations that the world, give to us. The first one is not good at all, but the other two are good, but it has been destroyed because of sin. Yeah, they can say, you better share this Christ and a fraud of friend at the point for a branding channel, say, or by so a friend at the point for a quite being sacrament. And I make us answer, I'm sure I don't know, but see, I share a friend, we ask, so you might be friend. They can say, you know, a friend of Bonnie, they better share the end of that. They are trust to us, so me, you know, a trust, so I hear the name of Bonnie, you know, and also a wine, a man, you know, me. So the first thing that there's the invitation of the world to sin. The world, its system, and how it is molded. Originally, it was perfect and good, but when sin came in, the worldly things, without God, always invite us to sin. You know, we have the voices of the world are many. Even today, advertising on the television and radios invite people to sin. Many, for instance, our children nowadays are called to this talent show, whatever, and they will come and imitate, I mean, some will be imitating preachers, and some also are singing this worldly song, and parents are there clapping and cheering them. These are invitations to sin. And they say they are mentoring them. They are mentoring them to what? They grow up and they become far away from God. There are also the lotteries. Nowadays, lottery is very common. I mean, the phone, you can use the phone to win, stick lottery, I mean, this betting and all that. And then most of the youth are giving into this. They wake up in the morning, they go to lottery place, and that's all that they do. And this advert run through the television, the radio, everywhere, on the billboards. It is inviting people to sin. And the general lottery system and all that. We also have the drunkards. I mean, you open your television and what is there? These big companies who support major things in the country, they are doing the adverts. And as if alcohol, I mean, drinking alcohol is something that is so good. People laughing and drinking, and many people are being allured into that. So all these are calling people into sin. And also, we have Sabbath breakers. And one of the greatest sins of our generation is Sabbath breaking, especially those who love football. Our youth today, most of them, what do they do on Sunday? What do they do? The church is not a matter of concern to them. What do? They want to go and watch the Premier League on Sundays, and best matches are often put on Sunday. Years ago, Sabbath breaking was a big concern for the church. But because the love of God has so come down, people just talk of nothing. When you talk of the Ten Commandments, they think that, oh, the Sabbath breaking for the Old Testament. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. God has a day for himself, and how do we hold it up? The world invites us to break it with so many activities, programs, parties on Sunday. After church, I go to parties, and everything is done. The year can say, yes, we still have to learn prayer. The pastor born in every section. Yes, we are say, yeah, share other and your master to be free and the apple born in. And the day can say, we are say, I share television as well. And so, yeah, share as if saying, so, yeah, papa, a friend of us, a mobile tournament, no. You can say, oh, I sound so a chacha. Kalu to near the Ushad Betty, a friend of a woman, or my domobato. And you can say, Omoa, a boo, a homedaso. The Casa Homedano, Tetanoa, I'm sorry, New Testament, I'm sorry, start here. Who kind churches we are? Not a homedaya down, Omo, a sumpa, but in a generation, but let me say, what you're born about, quite so, yeah, say you boo a homedaso. I'm going to say, lovers of the world, so that even the day God has sanctified, they are just breaking it. And it's not talk as a sin nowadays. If you can break the Sabbath, that means you are also guilty of all the laws. I mean, you are taking the name of God in vain. So it's the same thing that the world is calling us to do all this. And also, if you look at our television program, the soap operas, these Mexican movies, these Filipino movies and others, what are they? People don't even want to have anything to do just to watch their program, even if it's on the Lord's Day. So these things are calling us, and what are they calling us to? Into destruction. They increase our desire to sin. So the world, and there are so many, these are just examples I've just given. There are many things in the world that cause us to sin. Even our own work that we have to work and feed ourselves can lead us into sin. And we can take up a juicy job, and it can take us away from God. The Eka says, even a Juma for a man, a Dachy, and a Jumibria, and a Kraken, a Finian coupon. Now, a king and the call of saying. So, whoever the response to this worldly calls that take us away from God, it leads into sin. Whichever way it is. I mean, there are many. We can't look at them all. But there is also, as I said, these two invitations are also good. But then sin has marred it. The invitation of nature to tell us of God. About the also a friend, it can be which a friend and coupon. In Psalm 19, verse 1 to 3, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament sheweth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night sheweth knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Creation, nature, every generation speaks to us. You see, that is why in ages past our ancestors were worshipping various idols, because they think, when they look at nature, they say, no,
nature cannot be on its own. There should be a supreme God. Yes, they were blinded with unbelief. And as in Romans chapter 1, teaches us that when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, but sought to themselves a devious ways to worship him. And what does it do? Creation speaks unto us in manifesting God's glory and power. But then, our minds, until God has touched our minds, until our heart is renewed, whatever creation teaches us and invites us to, so that we can think about God and seek him, it can never help us. We will rather take a wrong path and by worshipping the creation. You see, that is why everywhere, even the whole world, everywhere there's the worship of the creature than the creator himself. It is an invitation that should have called us to think about God and to seek him and to find a way to know him. But sin has blinded the mind of all who have not the light of God. So even before divine revelation, before God spoke his word that we have now as the word of God of old, God has always what? Shown himself in the work of creation. Even our world today, people who look upon creation, who go far to search about creation, they'll tell us, oh, they've gone so far, there's no God. You see how far unbelief have taken us into. You can say, but they also, a friend, say, a friend, and a boy, you know, or the sea was like a Yasha and like a man actually have a no woman, money away, you know. Yasha Kranoa, not Yasum, a body, and not saying a dear or poor idea. And in Acts chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, it says that God, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness. God, I mean, after creation, man sinned. He left many nations to live according to their own hearts, to worship their idols. But he never left himself without witness. His creation, look at his creation, you see that God made all things. In that he did good, he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with good and gladness. The seasons and the blessings of nature, God left it as a witness of himself to his creation, so that we can see how we look at it and come after and look at where we can find God. But no, man look at creation and rather worship creation or whatever thing that they do. So that's why the voice of creation that invites us to the God of creation, man's heart is still darkened and the imagination are still evil and pain, as in Romans 1:20-21 tells us. And even our world today, where there's so much light, of the word of God, yet people still hold on to this thing. They think that creature itself is its own God. Creature itself created itself. Even our scientists and others have the same kind of queer ideas that they are promoting. They look at, they say they have researched into nature and say, oh, nature itself created itself. And yet, they make cars, car itself cannot move itself unless you program it. Unless you human beings do something, computers, you have to put software into it for it to work. And yet they think that the creation itself came on its own. Look at man. How complex man is, the human system is. Let a little portion of our system break down, then we are gone. And yet man thinks that creation came upon its own. No, God has done all this so that we can look upon them and seek after him. It invites us to think about it. It invites us so that we can seek God. But sin has destroyed us. So one thing, access our day so that the pressure about the crown of unto me, and you shall be a child point. Name of the morning and the fire. There is also the one of conscience that invites us to morality. But conscience also cannot help us because it has been marred by sin. Tibuana da ni pa dwum no bone asem. Nipa ahwe ase no Adam ye bone no. Nipa dwen ate watch him no. And dwen to me be papa kra. Na papa no ense na me because papa no ye kra no. Nyame enso ebo nyame e konkon. And to me Yakobon no ade bia endi mu no. And to me enso le ni o le ni. So we look at conscience like the courtroom. Even those who don't know God, they have laws of right and wrong. They have judgmental laws. They have go to, ancient times, all the old civilizations. They have their laws that govern their communities. And it was made out of, they knew that there's right and wrong. Who taught them right and wrong? Naturally, God gave us that conscience. so that at least we will know things that are right and that are wrong. But because of sin, all has also brought us to that end. Man has conscience and yet cannot seek after God. Man cannot think through by himself to come to God. So we see that all these voices, all these avenues that could have helped us to come and to think of God and to come and seek after one who has made us and see what is wrong with us, we cannot. All these voices cannot teach us about the saving grace of God. Sir, and your mother, a friend, such a behuman, and to me, and Chia Upone Abdomo, a Jim, and also the redeeming love of God. Yahupone, a JF Bonimuno, and also a Jimin Chia. Because anyone here to me, Chess and Papa, the boy, and Jimin Chia. Conscience, struggle was like a train, as two was like a chess and divide the boy in grammar. Nipa, Akasa, I drink the airborne, the airborne, if you say, Nipa, I drink acid. And also, doesn't also teach us the holiness of God and the duty of man to relate to such a holy and righteous God. Sir, you are my angels, and same as my own for your conqueror. And it makes my nipa, a studio only pass or send the pine and coupon, not ordinary coupon, young for your training and a conqueror. How can a man by his own self seek after God, the holy God, and be accepted by him? It's not possible. The natural way, God sent us, destroy everything. Okay, so neither does it reveal to man his mind, the mind of God, the way of peace, where man might attain eternal rest and peace for their souls. Said there, Nipa betu me have yahoo for na winya na kume bukra na ton yem se nyahupon I did not say on ya di boy any bio. Now when you have some dread, said Messima which me who said that you couldn't fias as you swa the home beton winya I trabia or that Nipa and to me and fast I no more is me who now. Do you know that in our old cultures the ancient cultures, they all knew that there's life after death. And they all created their own stories about life after death. I mean, in our Ghanaian cultures, you know, when they are going to buy somebody, they will say they will give him some coins, some other things. You know, he's going to cross the river, and when you go, you should carry it with it. They think there's life after death, but they are all wrong. They have used their own mind to think about that. They have used their own mind to devise how life after death should be. Yeah, can I say, young boy, yeah, coach, I share of you who are, I see your crown on the Abia, the cartoon, Nadia, another woman, maybe so, or who could chase you, or what one acquaintance you, or Fanco. I just only I did say, you were a bravo and quite a war, say, we will go and depart to meet us. Yeah, can I say, born into the San Ammonia, Nipana, or my dream, a fabulous. It doesn't tell us right things about even our destiny. Where we are heading off. If you go to the Greek and other Roman, they also have different form of, thinking about life after death. The Hindus, the Buddhists, some even think that when you die, you turn into another, animal or something like that. They don't quite just say, "Uwa." Now, we ni pana uwa na fi wakoda ni abuabi ana ibiabi. So you see, all these things, human conscience and mind is destroyed because of sin. So even the good thing that we can think of, we also add bad things to it. But now let's go ahead and see, Jesus' invitation. If all these invitations are not teaching us anything, exceptional, there is the invitation from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the heavenly call revealed to us by the gospel. God, knowing that man, by all these avenues, cannot help himself. Before he created the world, before even man fell and that nature itself was destroyed, God elected Christ himself. For Christ was given before the foundation of the world. The can say, Yagupon Nim said, Nipa and Shia, sir, no more winya, why yaka betrin Nipa Iban in general. Nipa and Jimmy for somebody in general. In Puansa, we are so. So the Christ is, he was said, Umbra, not Umbra Trinipa, and Fa acquired between me and my Nipa, Yagupon in general. So you see, Christ came. It's a heavenly call. His call, his invitation, unlike all the other invitations, which some are sinful, some are not even sinful, but cannot even grant us access to God. Christ came to reveal the heavenly call by the gospel. So, here can say, Christ to buy, and then send papa, and not exchange a phrase, a tear, a better yakupon, a better said, yeah, a better yakupon. And this invitation is not from the earth. and it's not from within. You know that people, some people today think that they should send some inner call from them. I think God is calling them from within. There's some religions like that. It was soon be a mufu say, or so with you and see you home, see me from. No, there's nothing like that. God is calling us by His gospel. Until we have heard the gospel and we have repented of sin and believe on the work of Christ He did on the cross of Calvary by shedding His blood, and we've been washed from our sins by His blood, we will never know the way of God. We can never know God aright. There's nothing in us that can lead us to God. It must come from God, Christ Himself. So it's a call that brings peace on earth and goodwill toward man. Why does it bring peace? Because a call that whoever responds to will have peace with God. Why? Because man by sin has become an enemy of God. Yes, and they announce a phrase, which is now this one. A man asomdwe ben ye ne yakopon tie bone no ama ye ye yakopon atamfo obi odi bone ni bia no ko ya mi atamfo. That's what the Bible teaches us. Yes, because our heart also teaches us that if we are sinners, we hate God. The bone ni bia e chi yakopon odo obaka so fanya mi asem na mum se ba se odi ya mi asem so a uchi no. I mean, how many of us, how do we even enjoy the worship of God, the right worship of God? Most of us, we don't enjoy. We just sit in and we do, I mean, we think of other things. We wish it is good that we are gone. Because of sin in us. Oh, the sound which the angels advise, the sound, the gospel, that tells us of who we are and how we can, I mean, relate to God and that our sins will be forgiven us. It's a sound that the angels admire. Because angels, when man fell, they were not happy. Because they were also God creatures. And now that Christ Himself was to come, they were happy. And remember, when Christ was born, the angels were what? Praising God. Because now salvation is come. In the name of Jesus Himself, He will save His people from their sin. Jesus Christ didn't know today. So Christ came to bring that such message to us. And it's a call, not only that the angels admire, it's a call that is dear to sinners who know their sin. And a fra out the boy for the boy for the pay. It's a call that drives away the power of sin and the Satan's dominion. Those who hear this call, an invitation from Christ to repent of sin, it is that call, when they receive it by faith, it drives away the power. And my boy name in the Omosubio, and my Obon Samson the Omosubio. It is said, I did Yanko for two about the pastor. So this call is a call which is dear to sinners. And it's a call which all those who know their sin are happy to hear. So, to whom this invitation is given to all those who are spiritually sick. And as I said, those who know that their souls are full of sin. How can I be pleased that Christ is calling? How can I be pleased that Christ came to die on the cross of Calvary? It will mean nothing to me if I'm the one who, think light of sin. Those who think light of sin will never appreciate what Christ did on Calvary. It doesn't make any sense to them. But you know that sin has what? Destroyed everything. Sin weakens and destroys the soul. Sin dumps holy appetite and darkens the conscience. The NTR, if you are a Muslim, you are a pie and boa, you will be a near brain. And upon this, if we say, a corner side, you are a man, you are a boy, so sin has destroyed everything. And you know that we are not, as long as they get the taste, but our own nature is sinful. One old writer said that original corruption are the disease of the soul. Actual transgressions are its source or explosions of the disease. Or say, send me away a bonim, and no, no, yeah, TBR, I say, yeah, a real bonim. Now, you know, may I say, at the boy for your money, I say, a crew are a two of my money. I check it, that one Ancassa Etienne. And now, Ocasa, he said that sin is like a volcano that erupts. You see, when a volcano is inactive, all the environment is so quiet. If we people can, So they say, he said that sin is like a volcano. So when sin is quiet within us, then it's like a volcano which is quiet. But when it erupts, It brings so many vile things. It destroys so many things. So that one man is let loose of his sinful act, he destroys everything. Whatever comes out of man, like Mark chapter 7, it says that from within man, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All this evil come from within and defile the man. I say nipa mu na boni we nya fi adwen boni adwaman bo ewudie akono boni ndada ensemhuka jimie bibia fi nipa ku mem na eba. It is our heart is the seat of sin. We are full of sin and yet we also act several things. You see, most of the time what we the world condemns is the act of sin. But Christ, God condemns the sinful nature that we have. Not only the act, but who we are full of sin. So even if somebody says, I want to stop my sin, can you, take away that sinful nature? You can't take it away. It's only God that can take it away. And it's through the gospel of Christ. That is why Christ came. It is only the blood of Christ, when it's applied to our souls, that can take away the nature of sin. This is a Christian who can't cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry. Until that thing has happened, whatever way we try to do to take, keep our sin nature at bay, we are still sinful. It's like an active volcano. It's still a volcano. One day it will erupt. And our nature as sinful, we are always sinful. Who can, one of the prophets, can the leopard change his spots? Or can the Ethiopian change his skin? No, we are full of sin. We can never change any speck of our nature. So you see that sin, look at how sin has also been destroying our world. Do you think of wars? How do we have wars in our world? It's because of sin. War, people killing others, and look at even abortion. People killing unborn babies and little children and all that. Because of sin. People want to have their way, and they want to have their sinful lifestyle, so they suppress and they kill, like bribery, dishonesty, and all this when they are at its peak, then we say, oh, there's corruption everywhere. For that dishonesty, like, Ghana is full of corruption. We talk, it's dishonesty, it's an eruption of sin. If you go to other countries, you think of abortion, US and others, abortion is sometimes, legalized and all. You think, oh, why are they killing people? It's an eruption of sin. But then I sin, oh, nifa, and so. And yet, people make laws to even legalize them. Like Ghana, we see dishonesty is so common. Bribery is everywhere. It's eruption of sin. But in some countries, you might not see dishonesty. You might not see bribery. Yes, like abortion, as I said. Abortion is prevalent. They are making laws to make abortion legal. You see, so every part of our world seems to have, a kind of sin that is eruptive. For instance, gay and lesbian issue now, like, if you come part of our world, we say that, our culture frown on it. When we go to other nations, we say, oh no, it's a human rights issue, let's go on. But you see, when people act without God's revealed will and word, we always go wrong. We choose things that we want to be sinful because our conscience is burdened with sin. In today, can you say, Bonnie, Obaya ha mu a yesu enyenyenye but obaya ha mu a dream and katase she ahye ma okokro bi so a yesu enyenye e chukwe do batu. So you see, every nation has eruptions of sin that have tainted everything. You see, so Paul Christ is saying that he's coming to call sinners to repentance. He's calling every race, tribe and nation has their own corruption of sin. Whether bribery, abortion, whatever, he's calling. And whatever it is, our nature is still sinful, which has to go out, to be changed. So you see that sensible sinners see their need and attend to Jesus' invitation, the call to repentance, and believe in the Savior of the world. Those who are sensible of their sin, who knows that their whole nature, not only what they do is sinful, they see the need of Christ's invitation. They found it so precious to their soul that without which they will have lost. Which all of us, if Christ has not brought this invitation, if he had not come into this world to call us to himself, who have all, still be in our sin and leading on to destruction. So you see that. But you know, in our world today, still as it is of old, like the Pharisees and the scribes, many estimate themselves to be fit and strong. They think, oh, there's a gospel call to sinners, but we are not sinners. Why? Because maybe we have something we are doing, we think, God accepts. So it's like, even when the gospel call is calling, they undermine it. No, there are better things to think about God. The gospel is for sinners. We are not sinners. Some will think like that. It's like when people think that they are presumptuous. When people are presumptuous. For instance, So many people are like that. They think like the scribes and Pharisees, like many today, they fancy themselves to be sound, they're whole, and think they need not Christ, the physician of souls. And to touch in John chapter 9, Jesus Christ told them that therefore your sin remaineth. If you think that you don't need the invitation of Christ to repent of sin and come to him, say your sin remains. Who can forgive you your sin? It's Jesus Christ. His death on the cross of Calvary alone. Nothing can forgive a sin of man. So if you think there's anything you can do apart from coming to Jesus Christ to come and confess your sins to him and ask of his salvation, then he says your sin remains. Do what you may, your sins still remain. So the issue of sin, for it to be taken away until I'm washed in the blood of Christ. There's a hymn, or maybe we don't have it in our hymn book. What can wash away my sin? Nothing by the blood of Christ. Nothing by the blood of Christ which is shed on the cross of Calvary. So you see that the call is for all who feel their sinfulness. But let's quickly look into actual details of this kind of sinfulness. I have broken down some few steps, I want us to think of. So what are the gospel called the spiritually sick from? I've said that those who are spiritually sick and are sensible of sin are those this invitation is for. Those who know that their sin is a problem for them, and that by their sin they are dying to go to hell. The others who are also sinful, but they think that hell is a myth. Hell is just a fairy tale. And though they play one. And nowadays, most of our young people, in Ghana here, many people think that hell is just a fairy tale. And it's interesting if you talk to me, most of them. Yeah, oh yes, do you know the judgment? Oh yes. Do you know the, oh yes, but what are you doing? Oh, then he just scratches the head. And it's very common. And you know, it's because they undermine sin. They think that life is normal and they must move on with life. But one day, they wake up like the rich man in hell, and you know that hell is real. So what does the gospel call the spiritually sick from? It calls us from our sin, from ignorance and unbelief. You know, sometimes we look at sin as doing something, but sometimes wrong beliefs about God, about his truth, also is sinful. Unbelief and wrong ignorance and those kind of things, they are all sinful. Because in Ephesians 4 verse 8, the Bible says that those who, sinful nature, who think that they should be out there, having the understanding that can, because being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Those who are separated from the life of God, from the spiritual life which God gives, they are ignorant in unbelief. And in that, whatever the Bible teaches, though they may take part of it, they can never take it all. They cannot never take it as their truth because of the blindness of their heart. So it's the unbelief, a sin. When my heart is not changed, when I have not been given a new life that God gives, a sin. And that it's also that which Christ is calling us for. From our ignorance, our state that we think that what we think, we don't even actually know what it is. Christ is calling us from. So God called men from darkness to light. As if when somebody is in a dungeon and he's brought up to light. That is what it is. So those who are having no life in Christ, they are in a dungeon. Their life is in darkness. They might come to church, they might hear the preaching, the word of God, but they cannot understand until God has given you his life. in Ephesians 4 verse 8, he said that they are without the life of God. Not our physical life, no. The life which God gives, that makes us to know him. So that is why we have to know the gospel. It's the gospel that leads us to this life. When we have come to Christ and he has washed away our sins, he doesn't leave us like that. He implants into us a new life, which we call being born again, the new birth, and all that. So you see that without that, we are still in unbelief. No matter how religious we are, no matter how understanding we have about the word of God, until we have this life implanted in us, we are in darkness. So Christ came to call us from such a state where we don't have the life of God in us, and yet we are religious. Do you remember Lydia? Lydia was religious. She was attending to prayers and others. But the Bible says God opened her heart so that she was able to attend to the things that Paul and his people preached unto him. Before then, she had attended to the meetings. She enjoyed the preaching and the teachings of the word. And yet, her heart was not open to the word of God. She was not saved. Like Cornelius, he was also, praying always. And yet, the Bible said that he didn't know, the new life until God himself gave him. So how does that come? It comes when I have come to Christ. I've come to seek his pardon for my sin. When my sins are washed away, then God can give me that new life. He gives me his life that will come so that I can relate to him. We can never relate to God with this natural life. No. This natural life can never relate to God. It's full of sin. It is finite. It cannot go to heaven. That is why we are also told that even when Christ comes and those of us who believe in, we shall be changed. This life, this body can never go to heaven until we are given a new life which God will give us. So, not only are we saved from this darkness into light, it also invites and calls us from danger. Remember, Lord, when the angels went into Sodom, what did they do? They came and what? They drew Lot, they took him out from the place before they destroyed the place. So God is calling sinners from the fire and brimstone of hell, from the curse of the law. By sin, we are cursed by the law. We are doomed for hell. But the gospel is calling us from such a state. So long as we have life, we can have hope because God is calling sinners. If we can only also come to Christ and ask for his pardon, for that his blood will be applied to us, we can also be taken away from the curse of the law. Until then, I am a member of a church. I am a religious person. The curse of the law hangs upon me. That which will take me to hell is still hanging upon me. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because when you hear the word of God, what has happened to you? You discard it because you don't have what it takes to really take it in. You know that all of us, those of us who are saved and those who are not saved, we were all children of wrath by nature. As the Bible says, we are by nature children of wrath, even as others. So when I'm saved from that state, the curse of the law is no more upon me. The curse of sin is no more upon me. I am now free. I have now become God's child. Who can condemn? As one hymn writer wrote, that who can condemn to the endless flame? Those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. So the good news is that though there's a danger for sinners, yet the good news is that those who hear the gospel call, who repent of their sin and put their faith in Christ, are justified by the blood and the righteousness of Christ, and so are delivered from the God's wrath. Yes, 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 any good news? It's not good news that people think that in Christmas then people business are booming and many people are thinking of Christmas bells. No, the good news is that I'm a sinner. I've come to Christ. I've asked for his pardon. He has forgiven me. He has washed me from my sin. It also calls us from the world dominion. You know that until we have been washed and saved, have given a new life and a new heart, we always think the world as a good place to be. Naturally, we love the things of the world. Because that's where we are born. Yes, say, miss me, your body, you need pass with you. You do we are saying, yeah, we are, well, honey, we are too, honey. So we like the things of the world because of, so from infancy to adulthood, we cherish the pleasures and the gains of this world. So if you're going to bring, see, if we are saying, you are saying, pass for, near being.
And you know that although such things make us slaves to the world, we don't see it as slavery. You know that if somebody is born by his parent or a parent under slavery, he doesn't think of, he thinks that their kind of living is liberty for her, for him or her. Because he was born a slave, or he was born in prison. So he looks around and he's happy. That is what we are. We are born into slave of sin in the world. And we are happy to change the things of God because we don't see any better liberty than living for the world. But when Christ comes in, when our heart is changed, when we have the new nature from God, then we know that, oh, the things of the world are vanity. The things of the world, they are changing each and every time. We know it, they are changing, but because we don't have the life of God in us, we think it's just part of nature. No, it wasn't part. Sin has set nature to decay. When we go to Peter, I say that this world will be melt and be fervent. If you ask say, and it asks that what kind of person we ought to be. The Bible was here. Any idea, any other way we are saying it. And if we have sent for sweet, if you say, this is the gospel calls us from Satan. The gospel delivers us from this captivity of this world, thinking that this world is a better place. No, the world is not a better place unless we are slaves of the world. So those who think that they must enjoy the world, they should have the freedom to enjoy life, they are slaves of the world and sin. And God's judgment is upon them. But the gospel releases us from it. It calls us to repent of such things when we come to Christ and place our hope on Him. So, Christ's gospel invites us to liberation and true pleasures and gains. It gives us pleasures which our original state, which our first parents had when they were in the Garden of Eden. Yes, they were living in the world. They never rested their hope on the world. They rested their hope on God until sin came in. And they also begin to love the world. Because, Christ himself said that what a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He tells us that the world, if it is given us, it cannot meet, what benefit our soul is to God. The world, yes, God made the world, yet our soul is so precious. You know that God made man out of dust, but He breathed into him the breath of life. Life that we have was given by God. Yet the body is from the earth. So he said that God values our souls. So quickly, let us run through this part and we are done. We have seen what the Bible, the gospel, or the invitation of Christ is calling us from. And if we are coming from somewhere, we have to go to somewhere. So it is calling us, what is it calling the spiritual sick to? It's an invitation to partake of a new nature, as I've already said, so that we can partake of the new nature. In Adam, we had our old nature, we were born natural birth, but when we come to the gospel, we are given a spiritual nature from heaven. As the Bible said that we must be born again. Say, just that's the feast that we are saying, born again, so, and then, as I said before, because of Adam's transgression, we are all sinners. Yet God makes his adopting children from Adam's fallen race through Jesus Christ. This Christ said, So whoever comes to Christ becomes God's child. Whoever comes by faith to Christ becomes God's child. In John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that, but as many as received him, that is Christ, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Those who come to Christ, they are born again, not according to human will or human power or desire, but by God himself. We are born again by God. None of us by nature are born by God. We are born by our own parents who are sinful. We also come as sinners. The kind of said, John, a child said, "Now don't know a jail on a jikis to do. A mom to me somebody and go born him back. If one way didn't do here, a mona, a warm, and yamuja, a warm, and yamunamuni, a warm, and yeni papas, no mumu, yankupon. God gave birth to them through Christ. See? So that is what the gospel is calling us into the sonship of Christ, into adoption, so that we become God's children. So the new nature must be given to you from God,
the Holy Spirit must work the new nature in you, all those who believe Christ's salvation. So it's a work that has to be done in us. So if any man be in Christ, a new creature, so says the scripture, is a new creature, the gospel invites all to come and partake of this new nature. And my question is, will you also come? Will you also hear and listen to the gospel or also come? If you have not done so, will you also come? Because without that, you can never have the new nature that will live in heaven. No, you can never have that. And the final thing is that we are called into a spiritual life, and also it's an invitation to inherit eternal glory. We are not only called to spiritual life on earth here, it also calls us from sin into eternal glory. You know that every good father loves and takes interest in leaving behind some inheritance for their children. That also, if we have children, we think, oh, when we die, when we are no more, maybe the education, maybe we have given them some properties, we think we leave it for them. God, our Heavenly Father, those of us who are also His children, does not only take delight in adopting children to spiritual life here on earth, but has a great delight in giving each one of us an eternal inheritance which shall not fade away or decay. He saves us and He gives us inheritance in heaven. Ask yourself, do you have that inheritance? Are you sure of that inheritance? Bisamo said, Yangupon, Japadino de Ma Nimbano, who can be an hour? As strong remember Japadino, who dear Hobiana. Wow, when you believe what any war, as I see, Robert Christopher. They didn't move down home, or do one yacho. On Mount, sir, a super front. Ah, Obeyaneba. Omon of God is also giving them inheritance. Because as I see, you have a family, and 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 you have a family. So when I come to Christ one day, or when death comes, I leave this world, I go to glory, I go to my Father, and enjoy his eternal inheritance for me. So I go to Him, my inheritance is not on this earth. Every child of God's inheritance is not on this earth. We don't own, maybe we live in this world, but we don't own this. Anything on this, unless there's a new earth, a new heaven, wherein dwelleth righteousness, where our natures can live. So in Colossians, it says that giving thanks unto God, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Those who are saved, God has made us suitable to be able to partake of the inheritance that is in glory. So for all our earthly inheritance, we may leave them here, or they may leave us while we are here. We can become poor when we own them, or we may leave them and go behind after death. But the heavenly inheritance is infinite. It is there forever. Our spiritual life that we have, and what we have in glory, is eternal. So that when we have it, we are sure of having eternal glory after death, or when Christ comes. You know, if we think of this world and all the inheritance people have, think of the miseries even it has brought to them. Think of how, So I'll read my verse again and I'll come to conclusion. And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this is what Christ is calling us from. The world, the sin, its system, its everything. And into a life of God. A life with God, wants us to live so we can relate to Him. From life of sin to a life which is spiritual. A life which can understand God and know the ways of God. That is what we are calling from. He is not calling us from sin and leave us to live for ourselves. So that He calls us from sin and we come to His kingdom. He becomes our Lord and our Master. So if I'm saved, Christ is my Lord. I live according to what He wants me to live. So, at the day of judgment, I have my God. I have my life which God has preserved. So my question once again is, if you are here also and you don't have this life, God, Christ is always calling, ready to receive. is willing to hear your prayer, is willing to bring you to himself, to this life. So long as you have life, there's hope. You can also come to him and ask for his grace and mercy. May the Lord help us. Let us pray.